Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
With a little love and some tenderness, we'll walk upon the water, we'll rise above the mist. With a little peace and some harmony, we'll take the world together, we'll take them by the hand. 'Cause I got him for you.
Time to take a drive around the SEC.
Brought to you by Love Chevy. Act now for spectacular savings on the best selection of new Chevys. I-26 at Harbison and at lovechevy.com. Together, let's drive.
Welcome in, everybody. Mike, we're all going to hop in the Chevy tracks here for the Love Chevy drive around the SEC. Since there's only three of us today, I didn't figure we'd need the big, 2,500. Why don't you drive us around here? Oh, no, we lost you, Mike.
Oh, man.
No, perfect timing for that.
Mike's microphone, man. This is a disaster. Today is a disaster. I'm taking full responsibility for all this. I am sorry for the. I'm going to blame myself for these tests. And guests not showing and all that good stuff. This is old man.
This has been a ride today, man.
We need JB back. It's like, what are we doing? Mike, you may want to stop. Are you there, dude?
There he is.
I'm here.
All right. Let's take a deep breath and then start again. Start the Love Chevy.
Here, I can hit this liner right
quick. Love Chevy. Drive around the SEC.
Yeah, let's just start all over. Yeah.
That's right. Here. Okay.
All right.
Now for springtacular savings on the best selection of new Chevys. I-26 at Harbison and at lovechevy.com. Together, let's drive.
We had a really smooth show yesterday, and I thought Monday was smooth.
It did.
Today has just been one of those days. I don't know. Monday and Tuesday, I felt like the Varsity Express was here, and then this has been a little bit of JB sneaking in, but we're gonna get back to the lofty expectations of the IATG community on the Chief Sports Network. And, of course, this is the Love Chevy drive around the SEC, home of the $1,000 guarantee. If you're looking for a Chevy anywhere in the state of South Carolina, check our friends at Love Chevy. We've had Connor O'Gara on JC and Morgan. You guys familiar? I know JC is. Phil, you familiar with Connor's work on Saturday Down South?
Yes, sir.
I think he does a good job. So there's an article on Nick Harbor there today. Gamecock fans want to check it out. Just kind of an interesting read. But I'm going to go over, I'm going to start off with some heavy football here. I'm going to go over a different article that he wrote that I thought is interesting. Top five assistant coaches in the SEC. Assistant coaches who he believes will get head coaching opportunities. And of course, this is not just his opinion. He talks to other people and kind of gets a consensus on who he thinks are some of the top dogs. So number one on the list, he has Glenn Schumann, Georgia defensive coordinator. He says it's fitting that Schumann is number one on the list. For my money, he's the best defensive coordinator in the SEC. His play calling chops have been evident the past 2 years with a Georgia defense that has somehow didn't take a significant step back after it lost historically good Dan Lanning in his final season as the DC. Some people might say, what about Will Muschamp? I mean, Muschamp is there, but he's not the defensive coordinator. He's got a different role altogether. Kirby Moore, Missouri OC. He says we took Moore number one overall as an OC, taking a look at what he's done in his first season, taking over Eli Drinkwitz in the play calling department. They improved the Tigers by nearly 8 points a game. They went from 87th in the country in offense to number 21 in yards per play, one of the more significant numbers if you're kind of grading an offense's productivity. That's for a team that broke through and earned its highest AP top 25 finish in a decade. Of course, they finished number eight. He's only 30-something years old, and yes, he is the brother of Kellen Moore, who's done some great things at the NFL level. Number three, Blake Baker, LSU defensive coordinator. JC and I have talked about this a lot. This was a coup to get him from Mizzou. Baker did a remarkable job in Columbia for 2 years after taking over a doormat defense under Steve Wilks. Baker just had five defensive players drafted from a wildly improved group, which was why Brian Kelly poached him and paid assistant in America. Number four, Tim Banks, Tennessee defensive coordinator. Connor says, I was dead wrong about Banks. After several candidates turned down Josh Heupel, I wasn't crazy about the idea of hiring Banks as his DC because I didn't like the lack of reps with total autonomy on defense at Illinois and at Penn State. The knock on Heupel was that he wasn't concerned about playing complementary football and he put his defenses in tough spots. Banks proved he was up for the task, and most recently with a Tennessee defense that ranked number one in the SEC in yards per rush allowed. That just froze up. Okay.
No, you're good. It's beautiful. Keep going.
No, my actual pitch froze.
Oh, okay.
I'm the guilty, party there. We'll keep everybody in suspense who number. Now I've got it back. I don't know if it's my internet or not. So those were the top four. Number five on this list, Colin Klein. It's weird. It feels like I was calling Colin Klein games a quarterback at K-State yesterday. He's now an established coach, and he's the Texas A&M OC after he led K-State to a top 10 offense in the post-Deuce Vaughn world. Klein was one of the best assistant hires of the offseason. Mike Elko got Klein to leave his alma mater to run an A&M offense that's loaded with potential, most notably at quarterback with a healthy Connor Wigman. And then he adds, don't sleep on Oklahoma OC Seth Luttrell and Georgia defensive line coach Trey Scott. JC, any comments on that list? Kind of quiet over
probably
there.
Probably would not have had the same list at all.
Probably would not have had the same list.
Well, tell me why.
Baker would have made it. I mean, Baker would have been up there, and Moore would have probably made it. The other three, man, Colin Klein was a great player at K-State. You're going to have to show me. Chris Kleiman, their coach, has his own system. They ran it at North Dakota State. They run the same damn thing. are they going to run that system at 8 a.m.? That's different.
Yeah.
I like Seth Luttrell, and I think Luttrell, yeah, because he Luttrell was kind of an up-and-comer, and then he spent several years as the head coach at North Texas. Now he's kind of back as a coordinator. Sometimes those guys come back and find their way, and they're really good. Sometimes they come back, and the coordinator game has passed them by a bit. So we'll have to see. I'm not sold on Oklahoma at all.
I've noticed that.
I just don't. You know, based on what I've been told from coaches that played against them last year versus the fact that, you know, they lost all five offensive linemen. And I'm not mad. I'm not an Oklahoma hater. I'll actually – Brent Venables being at Clemson aside, I think he's a hell of a coach. And I think he's recruiting well to where in a few years they're going to look more like an SEC team. Maybe soon. I mean, who knows? But man, I mean, everybody just assuming, you know, if you looked at what their performances have been like, where they've played like good teams through the year. I mean, they played a bad Tennessee team in Norman a few years ago and squeaked by three. I think Champions of Life beat them once. All right. So let's not crown Oklahoma just yet. Right.
All right. Is there anybody you would add to that list?
To that list. Let me think. I'm trying to.
Well, I'll get back to you on that. That's my assignment.
Let my brain kind of work here for a minute.
I got you fired up on some of those.
Brian choices. White, the D coordinator from Kentucky, is one of the best assistants in the SEC.
Totally agree. In fact, yeah. You know,
I don't know how you don't consider him.
I'm right there with you. He would not only be in my top five. I mean, I realize they had a setback last year for whatever reason. He didn't forget how to coach. He'd be in my top three. Totally agree with you on that one. What do you guys think of Joel Klatt of Fox Sports? He's kind of the Kirk Herbstreit of the Fox Sports college football brand.
He loves the SEC. He loves the SEC.
I don't know enough about it because he's on Fox.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I don't know Joel. I've met him once or twice. Always been nice to me personally, but I don't pretend to know him. I also don't pretend to watch the Fox pregame show. I'm just a creature of habit. I realize some people say, well, yeah, you get paid by ESPN. Yeah, I do, but I also, there's plenty of things I watch on TV that are not ESPN. And, I'm sure college football, their pregame show has made improvements. And Joel, I guess technically is not on it live, right? He doesn't actually do what Kirby does and do it live and then pair it because he's got to be there for the big noon kickoff. That's their thing.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they don't have that turnaround like ESPN does.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So as an analyst, you know, he's fine. I'll admit he ruffled my feathers and a lot of other people a few years ago. It felt like he was just kind of holding water for the Big Ten and went, you know, ate shit, excuse my language, about the Alabama team making the college football playoff as a 4 seed, and it was an outrage and this and that. And that Alabama team smoked two teams and wound up winning a national championship. I think Joel's credibility temporarily might have taken a hit. But so as some people just assume, just like people assume ESPN is in the bag for the SEC, that the gang at Fox is in the bag for the Big Ten. I get it. But I still respect his opinion. So he came out with his top 25 poll. He's got 9 SEC teams in the top 25. He's got A&M 25. He has got Oklahoma 17. He's got Tennessee 16. LSU 14. Missouri 10. Is that a yawn or is that a disagree? That's a yawn.
Sorry, okay. Sorry.
All right. I didn't mean to put you to sleep, JC. Alabama, he's got number 6. Ole Miss, number Alabama would be 6, but he's got him at number 7. Ole Miss at number 5. Texas at number 3. Georgia at number 2. That's his 9th SEC program in there. And number 1, of course, is, according to Joel Klatt, say it with me, Big Ten pride.
Big Ten pride, jeez.
Ohio State. Okay. Not much from the gallery today. Ohio State.
I'm not buying that. You know, I don't know. I mean, yeah, maybe he is showing his true colors there, Mike.
Well, I mean, look, Ohio State, they are loaded. They did steal Chip Kelly.
Yeah.
They bought Quinshon Junkie. Oh, roster. God. I mean, it was the Gordon Gekko offseason for Ohio State football. They just completely raided anything that could be raided and got big-time portal grabs. And the fact that you could get a sitting head coach at a major school for UCLA and get him to be the OC, kind of a big deal. And of course, he didn't like his quarterback from last year, and now all of a sudden they believe they've got that position figured out. So that's the way Klatt sees it. I teased this earlier, moving to baseball on the top 25. Actually, not even on the top 25. I'm not going to get on the polls. Who cares, right? But this is Baseball America's regional projections. And D1 Baseball is the number one. But they're not far different from Baseball America's. I figured I'd read it. They have Kentucky as the overall number one. A&M 2, Clemson 3. Tennessee 4, Arkansas 6. So they have four of the top eight from the SEC, which is not uncommon. That's happened before. I don't think the NCAA deep down in smoke-filled rooms, that they don't want you to hear the conversation. They don't want the majority of the programs all from the SEC. Like 50% of them is more than enough. But that's the way it stands right now, 50%. And then they have Carolina hosting as a 12 and Georgia hosting as a 14. Obviously, that series this weekend can change a lot of those things, either flip-flop it one way or another, et cetera. So they have a total of six SEC teams hosting and four top eight seeds from the SEC. I think that's actually very realistic. The last four in, they have Florida barely getting in. That's obviously on a game-by-game basis. They're the ultimate bubble team right now. First four out, they have LSU. The defending national champions, they have completely out of the NCAA tournament, to give you just an idea of just how hard it is to stay good. We had a long conversation about that yesterday. You're watching the two programs that played in the national championship finals, both struggling to get just to the tournament. Forget about hosting. Forget about top eight seed. They're just trying to make it. And there is no NIT in college baseball, just for the record. And that is your Love Chevy. Yeah, I know. That is your Love Chevy. Drive around the SEC.
Brought to you by Love Chevy, where the inventory is overflowing and the deals are in full bloom. I-26 at Harbison and at lovechevy.com. Together, let's drive.
Okay.
So by the way, somebody asked.
So looking at that.
Go ahead, Mike. I was just going to say, Jan asked, what was the date on that, Mike? That's today. That's why I chose that one. They literally released that today.
Hmm. Cool. That's interesting.
Unless I'm reading.
Yeah, the Gamecocks are right there. Yeah, on the cusp of being able to host or not. I don't know. I think, like last year, this team ultimately is going to be kind of RPI darlings to be able to get into that regional spot outside of the quad one victories and you know, things that are propping them up, strength of schedule being what it was. I'm not really worried about hosting at Founders. I mean, even, you know,
for the regional,
it, go 500 over the next two series.
Correct.
Yeah.
I
500.
I completely agree. I with the RPI already standing or sitting where it is for Carolina, and with two highly ranked teams left on the schedule for three game series, even if you go 3-3, heck, even if you go 2-4, you're not going to take a major hit on your RPI. So I think Carolina is in beyond excellent shape.
And look, these guys aren't Lenardi. They're wrong most of the time.
Well, yeah. Now, let me just say this is.
They're not as accurate as the basketball guys.
Correct. There's nobody that's. There is no Joe Lenardi, but they're pretty good. I mean, Teddy Cahill, who wrote this, I know all of these guys. I've seen them at ballparks throughout the years. He does a good job. You know, so does Rogers. So does Fitt. So does Etheridge. It's like the holy alliance of baseball, national baseball guys. It's the same four or five guys that it's been for years and years and years. They're on top of it. They don't. I know for years there was the vibe that Baseball America is based in North Carolina and they've got an ACC bias. That's not Teddy Cahill. That might have been. Maybe you're thinking of like John Manuel or somebody, but no, these guys are not. They don't have agendas or anything like that. D1 baseball, if you look at theirs, it's not that different than what I just read. They're all around the same. So take that for what it's worth.
And I think, as far as D1 baseball goes, they moved Carolina up to 13th in their rankings.
Right.
Three spots after two or three in Missouri. So I don't know why they would, or maybe they weren't projected to host. I don't know what the deal is. But I'll say this, South Carolina does have work to do. If they hang a 1-5 up the last six games, probably going on the road. I mean, it's just how tough it is this year. Yeah. As far as the Supers go, I mean, you sit there, are they going to give five SEC teams top eight seeds? I believe that's happened once or twice. But usually it's four is the absolute max. And it's usually three or two in the top eight. So we'll see what happens. I think, like I said, there's ball to be played. You always want to be playing well at this time of year. South Carolina's won 6 of 8. Georgia's scorching hot right now, but the law of averages tells us, like, after how many runs did they put up last week, Mike? 35, something like that against Vandy.
Over 10 a game.
It was crazy. Over 30 runs. They hadn't done that all year. They've hit the ball well all year, but they haven't put up that many runs all year. You got to. And they're coming to your place. They'll cool off. And, the team that concerns me is Tennessee, because even last year when Tennessee got off to the sort of iffy start and then put it together at the end, they were a really, really good baseball team. I mean, and went in and played Clemson, who was good too, at Clemson, beat them, got back to where they needed to go. I think Tennessee made it. Tennessee made it to Omaha last year. So, they're going to be a bear. I don't necessarily think those two programs like each other either, Tennessee and South Carolina.
Nobody likes Tennessee.
They're not well loved.
They've become the villain of the league with Tony Vitello.
It was crazy.
And he loves it, by the way. Tony loves it. He eats that up.
If you look at the history of the SEC East, and Missouri came in when 2012, 2013, something like that. The more northern you got historically before Vanderbilt hired Corbin, the worse they were. It was Georgia, Florida, South Carolina, and then Vandy, Kentucky, Tennessee. Tennessee would go up and down. Delmonico had a good team there, blah, 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 blah. But, it's basically the more south you were, the better. And it's kind of strange to look at the top two teams in the division right now and see Kentucky and Tennessee by far are the top two teams in that division. That's interesting. It says a lot about those two coaches and sort of the investment they've made in both programs.
No doubt. I mean, it's kind of ironic because Mingione was technically on the hot seat a couple of years ago, which I thought was ridiculous. But to me, that was a great hire. Kentucky's a very challenging job. There's challenges there with the weather and the footprint that South Carolina will never have to worry about. And Tennessee was a moribund program for 15 years. And Vitello, here's a story on Vitello. People talk about Missouri and just how bad they are and the facilities and this and that. Tony Vitello is a Missouri alum. Tony Vitello wanted the Missouri job. Max Scherzer, a prominent alum and he's probably worth about $500 million as a major league pitcher, wanted Tony Vitello as the coach of Missouri and told Missouri, if you hire him, I will donate. I will open up my checkbook and I will give you millions. Missouri's leadership at the time said, nope, we're going to hire this Beezer guy. Thanks anyway, but we got this. Vitello goes to Tennessee, completely turns that program around. Missouri fires Beezer and now is on another coach and is still coming up the rear in the Southeastern Conference. Those kind of moves can cripple you real quick. And it's real hard to recover from that. So, and I'm not saying Vitello would have done at Missouri that what he's doing at Tennessee. There's a track record at Tennessee. You mentioned J.C. Delmonico. Tennessee, for a while there, I mean, in the 90s, was a really good baseball program.
They hired the guy from Fullerton State, or George
UC
Horton?
Irvine.
UC Irvine. They got a good West Coast guy to come take that job for a while, and he kind of flamed out. They had some names. They had some names that took. They offered Chad Holbrook the job.
They did. I've talked to Chad about that. I mean, Chad, that really came close, but they offered it to him while he was literally in Omaha. And Chad, I mean, Chad can tell the story next time we have him on. Chad's like, I just don't feel good about taking this job right now, and he didn't take it. You know, and at that time, Tennessee was, people were starting to say, well, I don't know if anybody can win here anymore. But Vitello's turned it around, and they're pumping in NIL money at Tennessee in baseball. It's all of a sudden now they care. All it takes is winning. Women's basketball is the best example of that. You could give a crap less about women's basketball. All of a sudden, you start going to some Final Four. I love women's basketball. I've always loved it. For a lot of fan bases, baseball is the same way. You ignore it until you get good at it, and then all of a sudden, you're like breaking down. I think our number three starter should be this guy. I'm not too happy about this lineup. I think we need to sacrifice more, move the base runners over. We're too many strikeouts. Like all of a sudden, you know, you become a seam head. But anyway,
keeping score in your living room. You're keeping score.
You're keeping score in your living room.
So Dave Serrano was the guy they hired.
That's right. Yeah,
who took Irvine, the Anteaters,
to the World Series.
To the World Series in 7. And then he got the Fullerton job, took them to the – replaced George Horton. Because remember, Horton's the one that won it when they played Carolina that year. And yes, Oregon restarted their baseball program. And he went to Oregon. Phil Knight plucked him pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And so then at Fullerton, went to the College World Series, Super Regional, Regional. And so when he got hired at Tennessee, this dude had like a 7-year track record of rocking and rolling. Tennessee never finished higher than 5th in the East.
Yeah.
Just never could get it done. Ends up going back to the West Coast to Cal State Northridge. Hangs it up after however many years.
Wow.
Spent 1 year as the pitching coach at West Virginia, where they had a mutual parting of ways.
Wow.
In the middle of the season. Announced he's retired from coaching in 2022 after Northridge was just average. Now he took the head coaching job in the Appalachian Athletic Conference at Johnson University, where he finished 7th this year with a 24-21 record. So I don't know what happened from like 2011 to now with this guy, but those 7 years at Tennessee, and you can see why Tennessee gave him that much time, because he was 175-73 in 4 years at Fullerton. And had been to what, six straight NCAA tournaments, 4 super regionals, and 2 College World Series at Irvine and Fullerton combined.
I'm here to tell you, when that hire was made, it was a national love fest on what a great hire it was. And I dealt with Serrano many times. Extremely likable guy, charismatic. He would point out that, yeah, I'm a West Coast guy, but I know this area and I love this area, and it just didn't work. It just didn't, like most of those Tennessee hires for 15 years did not work. But at the time, that was a very celebrated hire at the time. There's been a lot of celebrated hires in SEC baseball that fell flat, just absolutely did not work. So I know we got to take a timeout. Let's take it. 33 minutes past the hour here on a marvelous hump day installment of ITG. Back with more on the other side.
Hey, Gamecock fans. This is Roman Kimball with South Carolina Baseball. My friends over at Electric Bikes of Charleston have the largest selection of e-bikes in South Carolina. You can cruise up to high speeds of 28 miles per hour, which is about 70 miles an hour slower than my fastball. Stay in shape and enjoy your life with an electric bike from Electric Bikes of Charleston, where buyers come from all across South Carolina. Visit electricbikescharleston.com. See you at the ballpark, and go Gamecocks.
The season rolls on at Love Chevy, where the inventory is overflowing and the deals are in full bloom. Rev up your season with Love's exclusive specials on Suburbans, Tahoes, Silverados, Trailblazers, and the ever-popular Chevy Trax. They're hard to find. At Love Chevy, get behind the wheel and feel the possibilities. New adventures, new destinations, just you and the open road. Act now for Springtacular Savings at Love Chevrolet. The best selection of new Chevys. The lowest price, guaranteed. The other dealers upsell, overcharge, and will say most anything to get the sale. At Love Chevy, satisfied customers say it all. Things like helpful, knowledgeable, honest, and fun. Your trusted hometown Chevy dealer since 1961. I-26 at Harbison and at lovechevy.com. Together, let's drive.
That's the power.
Hey Gamecock Nation, my name is Kyle, longtime listener of the show and avid golfer. I wanted to take my game to the next level, but let's face it, golf is a hard game to learn on your own. I heard the ad from McKellar Enterprises and reached out to the owner and former Gamecock golfer, Meredith Taylor. In just 2 months of working with Meredith, I shot my lowest round ever and I've never felt more confident in my golf game. So if you're looking to take your game to the next level, go to McKellarEnterprises.org and book your lesson today with former Gamecock golfer Meredith Taylor. Go Gamecocks!
Charleston Fitness Equipment is keeping South Carolina in shape. Clients have come from all over the Palmetto State to find that one piece of equipment that they enjoy that keeps them looking and feeling good. Whether it's a home rower, treadmill, elliptical, free weights, a home gym, or something else, Charleston Fitness Equipment keeps the mirror smiling back at you. Get in shape like the Gamecocks do. Visit CharlestonFitnessEquipment.com. Gamecock owned and operated and proud partners of Inside the Gamecocks, the show.
The preferred sign partner of Gamecock Athletics is Signorama Columbia, and they should be yours too. A full-service sign company that handles design, production, install, and service, Signorama Columbia has helped to bring to life the perfect vision for so many all across South Carolina. Owned and operated by proud Gamecock alumni, they can handle all types of signage, including interior and exterior, vehicle graphics, and more. Go to Signorama.com and find the West Columbia location or call them at 803-407-9284. Bring your brand to life with Signorama Columbia and go Gamecocks.
Cole Joe here, and when I'm not eating average jambalaya or celebrating endless summer in Destin, I like to eat pimento cheese straight off the bucket. And the only pimento cheese I like to eat is from Nana's Porch. It's award-winning, it'll melt in your mouth, it's good on a cracker, it's good in a bowl, it's good on a piece of bread. Also, don't forget, Nana's Porch has a hell of a food truck. It's award-winning as well. And they're here for all of your catering needs. So get online, nanasports.com. It's good. Coach O signing off. Endless summer, go Tiger.
For chicken cock, we get a medium to medium plus toast. The char level, we use a number 3 level char. If you char too deep, you start burning away some of those flavor components that you just created. If you just char a barrel and you don't toast it, you're going to create some of those flavors just on a thin layer just inside the char, but not the actual depth and full extent of flavors that you're going to get if you toast it properly. All those elements, that's exactly what they do. They boil down to great flavor.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
If you're in the real estate market in the Lowcountry or even in the Midlands, please contact me, JB, with Coast to Coast Realty SC. Go Gamecocks.
This break is presented by Billy G's Carolina Barbecue, the state newspaper's 2023 winner for best catering, best barbecue, and best food truck. Visit BillyG'sCarolinaBarbecue.com for all of your catering needs.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is.
What's up to the best fans in the country? This is Eli Jones, and you're tuned in to Inside the Gamecocks, the show.
Joe Cox.
Welcome back, everybody, inside the Gamecocks. Final segment of the show for this hump day. We have pushed through that crazy wall to get through the back end of this week, which is good. It's been a ride today. Thanks for everybody hanging in there. But let us know. Let's hit some more Gamecock graffiti. That means hop in the NanoSports chat box. Ask a question of Mike, JC, or myself even. Heck, I'll even answer them. And we will address all your concerns. Blast your name all over the front of this YouTube screen so that you'll be immediately famous, just like everybody else. Turn C-list celebrity here on Inside the Gamecocks, the show.
Yeah.
While we wrap this hour.
Well said. The Power Hour presented by Ryan Brewer Fence, ryanbrewer.net for all your fencing, railing, needs. You won't find anybody better in the business throughout the entire state of South Carolina. Proud sponsor of this program and a proud purveyor of the business that's been around for 15 years. I speak from experience, the work that they do on time and outstanding. It's Ryan Brewer, Ryan Brewer Fence. I'll get things started with actually a listener just chiming in through, not through chat row, but well, not just questions. You might have some comments. We'll read some of those too.
That's true.
Again, eventually we'll be able to actually take recorded messages on this, which I think will be pretty cool. Steven, a big Gamecock fan, a regular to the show, asks, did you call the 5 consecutive home runs in the Super Regional against Georgia? Yes, absolutely, Steven. That was 06. And it is, I took a look at it just a moment ago. 797,000 views, 2,800 thumbs up. That's not bad. I don't see a penny of that, but appreciate all you folks out there watching it. Yeah, I remember
the royalties and broadcast and analysis, Mike.
This was before you could monetize like YouTube, and get some money based on the amount of people that watch or view a clip or your show. No, nothing. And I don't even know who actually is behind the guy's name who posted it. Was a guy named Cocky Talk. And you see that at the bottom right-hand corner of the screen. The audio is a little what we call overmodulated. It's a little hot. But nevertheless, I'm glad he posted it because I can't tell you how many Gamecock fans just tell me every now and then I'm just at work. Need a little pick-me-up. I'm having a bad day, and I just play that. It's like an 8-minute clip, and yeah, it's pretty awesome. And again, it's historical. You'll never see that again in a super regional. 5 straight home runs against, it's not like a regional where by the end of the regional, sometimes you'll get to feast against a team that has no pitching left. Georgia had plenty of pitching. That's a World Series Georgia team that Carolina did that against. 5 consecutive, amazing. Going back to our talk about how all of a sudden, if you're good at a sport, everybody jumps on board. Quantrell's like, says, yeah, that's true as hell, Mike. It is. It's just, I hear this from like softball fans. Come on. You didn't care about softball until your program started winning. All of a sudden, Oklahoma has become the murderer's row, the 1950s and 60s Yankees of college softball. They win it every stinking year. It's right there in Oklahoma City. So if you're a Sooner fan, you're like breaking out. I think she ought to hit the 7-hole. Okay. Yeah, I know. You're big softball aficionado. Now Lynn says, hey, I kept stats for women's basketball back when I was in college in the 80s, and I'm a longtime women's basketball fan. Hey, that's cool. That's cool, Lynn. I'm not saying they aren't out there. I'm just telling you that when you go from like 700 people a game to 18,000, that's winning. That's what that is. That's not all of a sudden a major appreciation for the sport. And for that matter, I mean, when I first came to Columbia, You could go to Sarge Fry Field on a given SEC weekend, and you could have a row to yourself. It's not like they were packing the house. But then 2000, everything turned around, and people really not only became lovers of college of Gamecock baseball, but so many fans that I talked to said, I really have grown to love the sport. And that's how it starts. You know, you find an allegiance, you're vested, and then you give it a shot, and all of a sudden it's like, damn, this is a pretty good product. I'm in. All of a sudden I care. I might even watch games that my team is not playing. That's when you know as a sport that you've arrived.
College baseball is cool because I always like the double elimination formats and the regionals.
Yeah.
Like, you know, one of the saddest things about, I guess, NCAA basketball is you lose and you're out. I mean, that's sad. There's no living to fight another day.
No.
I think pro baseball, because the season is so long, and then now you had single elimination for a while, which was bizarre. And now you got best of three, which is even, you know, kind of ridiculous. But I like those old six-team regionals where chances are you're going to play a doubleheader and at some point. And then chances are, if you get in the loser's bracket, you're going to be getting this guy that hadn't pitched in a long, long time to come out there and pitch. Heck, that happened to Carolina in the College World Series. Michael Roth, you know, became that's a legendary start that he made. And I sort of like that, whole coming from behind. I remember in 01, Mike, Carolina in the regionals played, because it was a Supers at Stanford. They played UCF. UCF took the first game or game two.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then Blake Taylor, I was actually at Sarge Fry Field for this.
One of my few
personal appearances there. I did not listen to your call, and I watched it live. Blake Taylor comes in, shuts him down the game one, and then throws like it may have been a complete game. This dude's 160 pounds soaking wet.
Soaking wet. That dude was a warrior. A warrior.
Yeah. And, yeah, I mean,
that was
crazy.
UCF's best team ever. Like, they had two future pros on the mound. I'll never forget that. They were loaded. And you lose the first game. And back then, you didn't have the extra day like you do now. Now it wraps around to Monday, so you have an extra day to breathe. Back then, you crammed it all into Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
It was awesome.
So, I mean, you were dead tired, but Blake Taylor showed as much guts as any player in a Gamecock baseball uniform ever did during that weekend. I'm telling you right now, it's lost in the shuffle because that was not an Omaha team, but Blake was a grinder. Blake was such a good pickup as a JUCO out of Columbus, and now is a banking tycoon in Columbia. Blake Taylor is one of those, you know, the culture people talk about that Gamecock baseball built up. It was guys like Blake Taylor, honestly. Blake Taylor didn't have a major league arm, but holy, there was nobody tougher. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, no, I was just thinking during that time, I mean, had that not gone Carolina's way, and had the Miami Super not gone Carolina's way, the trajectory of those early years of Tanner would have been a lot different.
No, you're right.
Baseball is not an undefeated sport, and you take what you can when you can, and it's either win or lose. I remember that feeling like, man, UCF's going to take them out. This is on top of that Lafayette thing last year.
Yeah.
You know, Kip Bocknight's on this team, and they should be better. And then Blake Taylor does what he does, and then they got to Stanford and really played Stanford's butt off after that. The opener was a debacle, but really played Stanford off their feet. And then the next year the Miami thing happened and start going to Omaha, and the rest is history. But
the Miami miracle when Carolina was down 4-1 in the ninth, everything you're talking about, JC, was amplified by 1,000. It was, woe is me. We can't get over the hump. Clearly, there's something wrong. Continually, this team that just knocks the crap out of the ball all season long, but then you start losing 3-2. In that case, it was the final was going to be 4-1. That Miami miracle will go down as one of the most important wins, I think, in Gamecock athletics.
Yeah,
it just righted a whole lot of wrongs, and it turned the wheels for Gamecock baseball to legitimize Gamecock baseball, and that was the first of three straight Omahas.
Yeah,
you know, and again, I could go on and on. The 02 team, if you would have had a best two out of three, you might have been sitting on another championship. The 04 team was good enough to win a championship and will go down as talented as any team that's ever played at Carolina. It took Fullerton burning a kid's arm out to win that title. That poor kid never made it. Jason Windsor. But they got everything they could out of his arm, and he was never the same. Just some more graffiti here from RLE. Getting Harold – this is going back to the Joel Klatt poll. Let me back up. I don't know how we got on this, JC. Quint, did we ever – oh, Quint was talking about something that Jared said. When was the last time Carolina had a five-star linebacker? Never. Well, Hurley was five-star, wasn't he? Ricardo?
Ricardo. Yeah, that was the – now, look, had the JUCO rankings been giving out five stars at the time, I think Jasper Brinkley would have been a five-star JUCO linebacker. Absolutely.
He's a hell of a player. Tackling machine.
Dude, that guy's crazy.
Played for the Vikings.
I think, as far as recruits go out of high school, that would have been it.
That would have been one. James, I trust DCs at Georgia as much as I trust quarterbacks in the Pac-12, or now with the Pac-2. RLE, getting Harold Perkins back to outside linebacker blitz specialist is a smart move. Yeah, they should have never taken him out of it. One of the many things that LSU did wrong defensively last year. He also says, I'm sleeping hard on Oklahoma's OC. They have no chance. Well, you and JC are definitely simpatico on that.
I was like you guys. I thought LSU would just have a new coordinator and it would magically get fixed. But they haven't addressed their needs in the portal. They did not have a great portal run on defense. They don't have enough depth at D tackle, which is stunning to me. Stunning. Absolutely stunning.
Should never happen there, right?
Not there. No. You can throw a rock and hit four.
Yeah, that is weird.
And they've got issues at safety and corner. And Brad Crawford puts out an article today where he heard from inside people that LSU Baker is saying, hey, let's just give good effort and hustle this year. And that people inside at LSU don't think it's fixed. They think they're a year or two away. So if LSU's not good on defense, given all they lost on offense, I don't know that we may not see one of those weird 6-6 LSU seasons coming up. Remember, Brian Kelly had a 4-8 at Notre Dame one year. I mean, he'll throw a bad one up there, but if you're a Gamecock fan, circle that game because they come to Columbia week three, man. It's the SEC home opener.
Right after at Kentucky, which again – Jan, not looking promising for the Yardcocks being a sure regional host. Rogers, Fit, Etheridge just finished projecting their most recent 16 host sites. We were 16th. Jesus. Well, don't blame Jesus. He had nothing to do with that.
I love you very much.
I love Jesus, but he don't help me hit curveball. Look, take two out of three against Georgia, and that's 16th. When they do their podcast next week, we'll probably look more like 13th or 14th. That's my guess. Let's see. I'm not buying Ohio State at number one with a big question mark at quarterback. Fair enough.
I think the other side of that is there is no real proof of concept in the NIL, albeit small sample size era. For buying a team that's going to win a championship.
There's not, but I don't know that – I'd have to look and see how many guys they are – I mean, obviously starting quarterback is a portal guy because the kid from Kansas State, Walker Howard.
Yeah.
Obviously you got Quinshon Judkins. How many – do they have a bunch of defense? I'd have to look at that, Phil, because I'm with you. There's nothing that says – right? There's nothing that says that.
No, but now, I mean, what they're doing up there could be the perfect storm, right? Because they've not only, gone out and basically skimmed off every top player from the portal in this cycle, but have done the same thing on the coaching staff. I mean, Day in his desperation here, feeling a little bit of warmth, and staring down the barrel of losing to Michigan again. That's probably sending Harbaugh, you know, cards every day in the mail saying thanks for leaving, bud. Yeah.
You hit on the key word, Phil, desperation, because if he loses to Michigan again, he's done. He is out.
You can't lose this one.
There's no way. And I'll steal JC's term. They had a caged animal off season. They just said, "No more. We're gonna buy our way out of any possibility of losing." It's not like they had a bad year, but they didn't have a good enough year. So we'll see. I think it's going to be a fascinating case study on what they're able to do with all the money they spent.
Watch James Franklin
finally win the championship in the Big Ten. That's right.
Well, Aller will have to play better at quarterback for that to happen.
No,
he doesn't win the big game.
No.
Never.
He doesn't.
He would beat Tennessee every now and then at Vandy. But
when, yes, like when we keep going back to those.
Yeah.
We keep going back to those two Vandy years. Penn State fans really don't care about that. They just look at a guy who's been given the keys to an elite program, and at some point you have to start winning some of the games, not all of them, some of the games against Ohio State, Michigan, or you no longer keep that job.
He really is Mark Richt, but without the early success that Richt did. He's middle of the year's Richt. Because Richt got him better. Richt was better than Ray Goff, and he was better than Donnan.
And won two SEC titles.
He provided them with a lot of exciting moments early. And you know, Franklin did win one Big Ten. Went 11-2 doing it, but he did win one. You know, but now it's just like, you know, they're good every year. Just not that good.
Yeah. So, that's going to be interesting.
As for Ohio State, I think they'd be my number one. Their schedule's,
I'll keep Georgia number one. I'll put my money on what Georgia's got going on with Carson Beck back. I know what Carson Beck's going to do. I don't know what Ohio State's quarterback's going to do. You know, they poach ETN, one of the few weapons that Florida had, and he'll fit right in there nicely. And they're going to defend as well as anybody. So I'll take Georgia one. Bruin Nation, I'd take a guy like Tony V in a heartbeat. Yeah, I mean, what he's done at Tennessee. Now, he's got to have some success in Omaha, too, to really make people happy over there, to get over that hump. They had the disappointment a couple years ago on a team that just ran a roughshod over everybody and then got bounced at home in a super at home. There's another example. I can give you several more against the Notre Dame team. Mike, I don't know where this came from. Talk about a nervous flyer. Oh, for JC, I'm not flying anything Boeing anytime soon. The problem with that, Mike, is it's like it's hard to book a flight where it's not a Boeing plane, right?
That's right. Well, just make sure you don't have the MAX at the end of it. I think that's the key.
We flew a MAX back from Las Vegas and white knuckled the whole way.
Yeah.
It's kind of crocheting. So Craig had a question about Maryland, Mike, and I'll answer it if you want me to.
Yeah, go. I'm just going in order. Go.
Yeah, I was way back earlier. He's like, so he said, well, Maryland has all this, the state of Maryland has all this talent. Obviously, South Carolina out of D.C. and Maryland's gotten two straight five-star recruits. There's always good players up there. What's their excuse for not being top four in the Big Ten? Well, it's because they South Carolina used to have a big problem with big-time players from the state leaving, almost like basketball was, or hopefully is changing now. But, guys, y'all, in the 90s, that's a miracle Brad Scott won anything, because there was a level of player that would always leave and go to Tennessee, Florida State, you know, Notre Dame, Ohio State, wherever. There was that level, and then there was Clemson and South Carolina's level. It was almost like they were second-class citizens. That's changed tremendously. I mean, Georgia will come in and get one every now and then. Sometimes North Carolina will get a good player that neither one wants. But other than that, I mean, you know, there's no Florida State coming in here and getting guys. It's just the border's closed, man.
The other difference the border's closed. JC, I've never worked a game at Maryland. I don't know if you've ever covered a game there.
Terrible.
They don't have like Williams Bryce. They don't have 80,000 fans and, you know, living, breathing, talking college football 365. Like, that's just not Maryland. It's just they're not set up for that.
It's across that dividing line where it's professional sports territory up there.
Without question.
You remember, Mike. Yeah, you live there. I've lived there. I mean, yeah, that's all the talk is the pro teams.
It's all about the Commanders and the Ravens. Like, I just did a Ravens game this year out there. So Maryland had a home game the day before. I mean, everywhere I went, there's Ravens paraphernalia. I didn't see anything of Maryland. It's like they don't even exist. That's I don't think Maryland, regardless of who they hire, is ever going to be a power in college football. I mean, I go back the first time I ever knew what Maryland football was, Boomer Esiason, like that was their big deal at quarterback. They have blips here and there, but Maryland's never been. There's talent that comes out of there, yes, but that's why it's always been to me a smart move for Carolina to invade that part of the country, because other than Penn State, like, there's not a whole lot of powers in the Northeast, but there are talented players, as JC knows better than I, that come out of there every year. So if you can just kind of make that your part of your territory, it's a great strategy.
South Carolina's got a ton of students from there, and it's the closest SEC school. Maryland's same way Rutgers is, as far as like Rutgers. Like, most of the top kids from Jersey either go to Penn State or .. Same thing with Maryland. Yeah, they'll get their share of like that middle part. And that's enough to keep them competitive, I think, with what they do in the portal. Mm-hmm. But it's not enough to put them into any kind of upper tier. Now that there's no divisions and they can't feast on Indiana and Rutgers every year and three little sisters of the poor in non-conference, I just don't. I don't think brighter days are ahead for Mike Locksley. I'll just tell you that right now.
Yeah, I'm with you there for certain. Jay Diz, so much disrespect. The Rothstein, talking about John Rothstein, 45 rankings. Gamecocks were nowhere to be found. Joe Lenardi revealed his way too early mock tournament, and there were no Gamecocks in the projection. Folks, you can get used to this. Like, they are going based on what the team was last year and who's returning. And the only player that they really know is Murray Boyles. They don't know. They're not doing a deep dive into Carolina's portal class. They're not doing a deep dive on Tom. Like, they don't know. So I wouldn't make too much of that. You can expect Carolina once again to not get high preseason rankings. And just like last year, it will matter very, very little.
Yeah. I don't think you'll be last at the SEC media days this year, but you know,
no, not last.
I don't know
all.
If you'll be in the top half.
Maybe that. Yeah, that's going to take more brain power than I can use here in the final seconds.
All right, there's news I have to pass along.
Breaking news.
I think it's a TV change for Thursday night. I think it was supposed to be on either SEC Network or ESPNU. Now it's been moved to the Deuce.
I saw it was on the Deuce.
On the Deuce. Okay. So ESPN2, first pitch, 8 p.m. So prime time Deuce.
Boom.
Border battle with the Bulldogs. How's that for alliteration? Bulldogs.
That's fantastic. Jacob, that night we lost to Arizona in 2013, one of, if not the most emotional night for me as a Gamecock fan. I'm guessing, Jacob, you might be a little younger, but yeah, that was definitely painful because it stopped a three-peat potentially. There have been a few more, depending on how far back you want to go. Harrison, lack of depth, a defensive tackle, and they come to Williams-Brice with a healthy Rocket and Sellers running the rock. I like our chances. I guess he's talking about the LSU game that we were referencing earlier.
Yeah.
It's not in a good spot for LSU, I don't think.
No. And that place is going to be nuts if you're 2-0 heading into that one. You're going to have
JC
big-time eyes on you. Mm-hmm.
Lynette, what are the chances of Jonte Gilbert?
I think Carolina, if they push for him, will get him. I mean, the competition's changed a little bit. It was gone from Ohio State and Clemson to, like, Duke and – Charlotte, maybe, or somebody, or and there's another Power Five mixed in there somewhere that's a relatively big. It's kind of been weird. I'm going to check on him and make sure he's still a priority for the coaching staff. I'm assuming he is, but they've got a lot of DBs committed and others leaning their way, especially at the safety position. So we'll see kind of what. I'll have to check on that.
All right. Good stuff from everybody out there in ITG land and on Chat Row for a little Gamecock graffiti to close things out. Been fun. Jamie will be back in the cockpit seat tomorrow with you fellas. I've enjoyed the time here the last few days. If you didn't catch JC and Morgan, we didn't get our Texas guest. But other than that, it was good. Oh,
that was a back, basically got away. I explained for Jerry. Knowing Jerry, I know exactly what happened, dude.
I hear you. We're kidding.
We'll get him on
Sunday. We'll get him. It's still a good show. It's still a good show, damn it.
Oh, yeah.
All right. You want to say goodbye or you want me to say goodbye?
Say goodbye, Mike. I'm out.
All right. For another installment of ITG, the show on the Chief Sports Network, for JC, for Phil, it's Mike saying so long. Same time, same show tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. So long, everybody.